Okay, it is a pleasure to be here today. In 1974, I came to my very first Beltwide Cotton meetings. It was here in Dallas. And I've spoken a lot of times, but this is the first time I've talked to the Jenner's Conference, so I guess I've finally arrived. This is where it is. It's kind of interesting. I think there's fewer people in this audience than I would know in any other section, so I don't know if that's good or bad. And also, there's not a back door here, which is a little scary. Tommy asked me to talk some about changes in seed index, and what I'm going to be primarily doing is from a genetic standpoint or from a variety testing standpoint. If you look into the older literature, pretty much from a genetic standpoint, a moderate seed size is optimal as it relates to all other traits. And when you consider that, I don't know of any cotton breeder that has ever really selected much on seed size. We select on yield and fiber quality and yield and, that's kind of what we, and whatever seed size come out, it's okay. So there's been very little intentional change of seed size. My interest in seed traits goes back a long ways. I cite this Journal of Heredity in 1983, and it reported data from 1970s when I was in graduate school. And in that, I went back and looked at that article, and it kind of surprised me what was in there. I'd forgotten. One is that high seed weight was very closely related to high seed volume, a correlation 0.97, basically saying they're the same trait. So as you increase weight, you increase volume, and that's water displacement type size. The other thing, another correlation we saw there is that lower high seed weight is related to lower lint percent. And notice that correlation, minus 0.38. Tommy, I'm going to give you the assignment to remember that number, because we're going to come back to that number in about my last slide. It's also related to lower linters percent. And then a statistic that I had completely forgotten, that high lint percent was related to lower linter percent. And that's a correlation, pretty strong correlation, minus 0.6. And finally, the heritability of all three of these traits are pretty strong, which means that from a genetic standpoint, we can move them around. But I don't know how to move this around. You showed me, but I forgot. Page up, page down, arrow down. Oh, arrow down. Okay, good. I'm sorry. So what I want to address in this presentation is two questions. One is from a variety, that is a genetic perspective, have detectable changes in seed index and lint percent occurred in the Mississippi River Delta region? And the second question is, how does seed index relate to yield, some yield components, and fiber quality traits? I'm going to be showing you two data sets. The first one is from the National Cotton Variety Test. This cotton variety test has been going on since the 1960s. I was able to get data for 31 years. This website here has it published from 1993 to present, or pretty close to through 2014, I think, is on the website right now. Than I have in book form going back the other years. Each year, this National Variety Test conducts tests at more than 20 locations each year, and this is separated out into 8 different regions. And I'm specifically involved in the Delta Regional Test. Most years, the Delta region has had four locations, one in Missouri, one in Arkansas, one in Mississippi, and one in Louisiana. The thing I want you to recall as you look at these data, within each year, the same varieties are evaluated at each of the locations. So there's no varietal differences between locations. In our region, each year, there's 10 entries. There's 4 national checks. These are 4 standard varieties that are planted over the whole belt, the 20 locations, all 8 regions. And then there are 6 regional tests that we assign each year. Now, these regional checks will, myself and a couple other people go through, and we determine what are the most popular varieties planted in our region, and then we try to get some variation in the genetics, different companies, so we get a good representation of what is really in the field in any particular year. So that's very important for this data set. At each location, there's both samples taken from two reps. We determine seed index, lint percent. Then we take send these seed and lint fiber samples off for additional analyses. Then we get lint yield from at least four reps. Now, from this data set, this is from 1985 through 2016, 31 years, this is what has occurred in seed index. You see this, the bottom line, the bottom two lines, Louisiana, Mississippi, it is straight as an arrow going across there. There has been no change in seed index over those 31 years in this test. Curiously, for Arkansas and Missouri, there's been a slight decrease. Now, remember, these are the same varieties in all four states. I have thought, and I hadn't figured up a reason why Arkansas and Missouri have gone down, other than that's where I live, up in close to Missouri and in Arkansas. So that's, I don't know the reason for why they would be different. Now, if you look at lint percent and that same set of data, it's very, very clear. Very linear, strong, positive relationship in each region. And as you well know, we have increased, and from a genetic standpoint, from a breeder standpoint, we haven't been concerned about seed size. We have been concerned about lint percent. And we have purposefully increased the amount of the lint percent in our cotton varieties. And these are very strong relationships. Now, the second set of data are data from University of Arkansas, my cotton variety testing program. And these data, I started in 2002 because that's the first year that I started routinely measuring seed index. Before that, I measured yield and fiber quality, but did not include seed index. So these are 15 years, 02 through 2016, that include seed index. These data are taken from four different locations. They span about 200 miles north, south in the Mississippi River Delta. All of them are furrow irrigated, but there's different soil types. All of them are silt loam soils except at Kaiser, and if you've ever been there, you know that's sharky clay, pure sharky clay. Here's what seed index, and these are grams, and both tests are on fuzzy seed. It's not delineated seed. This is grams per 100 seed. It's flat except at Kaiser. That bottom line are the data from Kaiser, and there's been a slight decrease on that sharky clay at Kaiser. Again, it's the same varieties tested at each location. So and if we look at lint percent, lint percent is the bottom line, the red line. There's been a steady increase in these varieties. There's also, if you put it across all four locations, that index comes out flat with that R-square 0.001. That means if you look at the coefficient in that regression, it's a flat line. And then the other line, the green line, is lint index. Seed index is the weight of 100 seed. Lint index is the weight of lint from 100 seed. And you've seen very strong increase in lint index, and that would parallel the increase in lint percent. Now, I started thinking, well, maybe this is all the varieties, you know, sometimes 40, 50 varieties in a year. These are not really ones that you are ginning. This is a lot more varieties than what you're ginning. So I went into each one of those years and pulled out the five most planted varieties in Arkansas and looked at the seed index of those most five planted varieties in Arkansas. We still got a straight line. Of those most planted varieties, seed index has not changed. Then I got a little bit concerned about 2009 because it looks like an outlier. For some reason, we got a lot fewer acreage planted. That's the bars in those five varieties. And also the seed index really went down. So I took 2009 out just to make sure it wasn't skewing the data, and I still got a straight line. So I think it's pretty clear, at least these data indicate that from a genetic standpoint, we have not changed seed index or seed size over these years. The second thing I want to do is look at how seed index is related to other variables. The first line up here is how it's related to yield. In 5 years, it was positively related to yield. Bigger seed had bigger yield. 5 years, it had negative. In 5 years, it was not related. So I can tell you for sure it's inconsistent. There's 15 years, it's five each direction. Lint percent is real strong. What was that number I asked you to remember, Tommy?
0.38.
Minus 0.38. Look at that correlation of lint percent and seed index. It's the same. That number I had him ask, that was from 1970s, from data I took in graduate school here in Texas. This is from 2000s in Arkansas. That relationship between seed index and I think this indicates that it has stayed stable over those years. As you increase seed size, you will decrease lint percent and vice versa. As far as yield components, there's been a fairly consistent 10 out of the 15 years. There was a negative relationship with number of seed per acre. As you increase seed size, you get fewer seed per acre. You get also fewer what I call fiber density. Fiber density is a measure of estimate of number of fibers per unit area of seed coat. But then lint index and number of fibers per seed, it's real obvious. You increase the seed size, you're going to get more fibers per seed and more heavier weight of fibers per seed. Then finally, for yield, for fiber quality, all of them are mainly positive. The one with microdare is not favorable. That's kind of a negative. But for length, a very strong favorable relationship as we increase seed size. So in the conclusions from based on these data, we found no detectable trend in seed size over the varieties over these 31 years in the National Variety Test or the 15 years in our Arkansas Cotton Variety Test. Lint percentage and lint index, that is weight of lint per 100 seed, have trended up. And these trends have led to a lower weight of seed per bale. So as you gin a bale of cotton, you're going to get more lint, but you're going to get less seed weight. And finally, within years, higher seed index was consistently related to a lower lint percent, seed per acre, and fiber density, and a higher lint index, fibers per seed, and fiber, and generally fiber quality. Thank you.
Any questions for Dr. Borla?
So what I think I hear you saying is that increase in turnout in the gin is because there's actually more lint per seed?
Yes. Yeah.
Also, you were showing an increase in microdare. Is that contributing to the weight through the years? Is that what I saw on the slide?
No. That's not what you saw on the slide, because it wasn't on the slide. But there was a positive relationship with microdare. Yes. Okay. Seed size is positively related to microdare.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Wouldn't that seem to indicate that it makes a lot of sense to have it in the bidding operation?
I'm the last person to tell the general what to do, so I. Obviously the amount of seed is very important to a ginner. If you know how much lint's coming out and you know how much seed cotton went in, you should be able to, some simple math, figure that out. So you may not need another. I know you're being a little facetious. So.
Any other questions, Dr. Moore? Thank you, sir.